Chapter 14. The Drive. As the spring sunshine warmed the countryside, the local ranchers started bringing in their steers. Hank's cowhands began drifting in as well. The first to arrive were the Davis twins, Jim and Jack. The rest came in a day or two apart. It was not long before there were no empty beds in the bunkhouse. As soon as all hands and steers were accounted for, they were ready to head north. The anticipation was killing Buck. He anxiously looked forward to putting his training to the test. He did not think about the fact that this trip could turn deadly at any moment. This youngster just wanted to start the drive and experience the life of a real cowboy. Everyone bought the lie about Buck being Hank's nephew. Not that it really mattered that much to them, one way or another, as long as the kids stayed out of their way. Hank assigned Buck as the cook's helper until he got accustomed to the ways of the trail. This menial job was a far cry from being a cowboy, but at least he was going to be part of the drive. Hank told Buck that he would work him into the crew a little at a time for his own protection. Buck did not mind this slight demotion after he saw the size of the herd. Even on horseback, a rider would be at the mercy of the Longhorns if these potential killers decided to stampede. Buck felt much safer on the seat of the chuck wagon next to the cook, Raymond Sayre. Even this lofty perch actually offered little protection in a stampede. When the first rays of sunlight peeked over the bluff, Hank got things started by shouting,
"Head 'em up, boys. Let's get these damn bastards moving."
The rest of the cowhands started shouting and whistling as the herd was slowly prodded north at a casual walk. A cloud of thick dust soon formed over the herd from the many hoofs shuffling along. The whole crew wore their bandanas over their faces to block the choking dust. The exceptions were Hank, the chuck wagon crew, and the scouts, who rode at the head of the drive. Once underway, the Longhorn stretched out in a column about 20 steers wide and half a mile long. The outriders were constantly driving wandering strays back into the line of march. At first, it appeared that each Longhorn wanted to choose his own way north. After a few days on the trail, they settled into the rhythm of the drive. Soon, men and beasts forged ahead slowly as one. As promised, Hank started letting Buck assume more and more cowboy duties. At first, his job was to ride night herd. This was tedious and boring work. From sunset to sunrise, all he did was walk his pony slowly through the herd to help keep them calm. On more than one occasion, he became so sleepy toward dawn that he dozed off and fell to the ground. The next day, while the chuck wagon bounced along the uneven trail, Buck would try to sleep on the seat beside Mr. Sayre. However, every rut and rock the wagon passed over woke him from his uneasy slumber. Buck was glad when his turn as night rider came to an end. The prairie was a hard mattress, but at least it did not move. By the time the drive was over, Buck had worked every position except cook and scout. This trip had been uneventful. They had no Indian attacks, rustlers, or storms. The drive had been little more than a long, dusty walk. Several Indians were seen along a ridgeline one evening, but Hank posted extra riders around the herd, so nothing happened. Fewer than 50 head of cattle were lost the whole drive. Hank said that Buck had brought him good luck. A normal drive expected losses of a third or more. With the herd safely tucked away in the cowpens at the railhead, Hank collected his money. After paying its men and the ranchers, he had over $10,000 profit. Not bad for a slow walk out of Texas. Being a man of his word, he paid Buck back his $100 and gave him full cowhand pay for the trip as well. When Buck protested this amount, Hank insisted that he take the money. Without Buck's original investment, Hank could not have made a drive. As a bonus for the men's hard work, Hank treated them to a week in the best hotel in Abilene. They all had hot baths, soft beds, and all they could eat. The majority of the men stayed drunk the whole week. The crew spent many hours sampling the wares of the local working girls and gambling. Buck still remembered his bad experience with beer and opted not to try it again just yet. At week's end, Hank surprised everyone with the announcement that he was not going back to Texas. He had signed his ranch over to Bob for his years of dedication and friendship. As for his plans, he was going back east to retire. He told them he was getting too old for the saddle and that the Texas summers were just too damn hot. Hank took Buck to the side and handed him a small leather pouch.
What's this?
It's what that cheap brother-in-law of mine would have made if he had been as trusting in this old cowboy as you.
Buck opened the bag and was surprised to find a roll of money, $1,000 in brand new $100 bills, fresh from the bank.
I can't take this, Hank.
As he tried to hand the pouch back.
You have already paid me back my loan plus wages.
I'm a man of my word, boy.
Taking a step backwards and holding up both hands as if Buck were trying to give him a snake.
Without your faith in me, the drive would not have happened, and I would still be flat broke.
But this is too much.
In a rather uncowboy manner, he hugged Hank. Buck could tell by the way Hank stiffened that he was unaccustomed to such displays of affection from another man. Realizing his mistake, Buck stepped back and took Hank's hand in a more dignified shake.
So what you got planned for yourself now, son?
I was going back to Texas, but now I think I'll head west and buy me a small farm somewhere. Cowboy life was not as much fun as I thought it would be. I guess I'm just still a farmer at heart.
Well, the train runs all the way to the ocean now. With that much money, you can pick out a place about anywhere.
Hank was right. With the money that he had just given Buck, along with the paid-back loan and his wages, Buck now had over $1,200. Most folks would not see that much money in a lifetime. Going east was out of the question for obvious reasons, so west would be his direction. How far west would depend on what he found down the line. Who knows, he might just go all the way to the ocean. Buck had never seen one, and right now, time was not a factor. He could always start farming a little later. He might as well take some time off and see what this world had to offer. With Hank gone from his life, Buck was once again alone. He was somewhat sad, but he now had absolutely no one to answer to, and with this much money, Buck could go where he damn well pleased.